Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. At the end of last segment, we were talking about the sporting world and basketball and all, and the last one, Jose Luis Ortiz, the jockey. Let's see how he does in the Kentucky. And Amanda Serrano, our boxer, woman boxer, who's done fantastic, consolidating about three or four different weight classes and all. She's going to have a defense of her title at the 126 level against Cheyenne Hansen, a German, and that'll be the 30th of May in El Paso, Texas. Let's see. It's going to be on ESPN, so it'll be available on that night. So I look forward to see the. I don't have the article, but there was a woman boxer who lost to an English in Gales, and she lost unanimously and by a very lopsided score. But apparently, she really held her own and did it shouldn't have been that lopsided the score. The British boxer definitely suffered more, in terms of physically. So she's going to continue. I think that she's going to change the weight class and move differently. This is what's happened to Amanda when she went up to the Katie Taylor, where she lost twice. Wasn't able to win, and at the lower levels, she's been. Successful, and hopefully will continue to be successful. And although not the athlete in the final story in the sports world, she's the wife of Francisco Lindor. Her name is Katia Reguero Lindor, and an article came out on her it came out on the 22nd of March, and I kind of had it on the side there, but. It's always interesting, important the athletes on both sides, the spouse, and she seems to be a person who has it all together, and not only as a mother and a wife, but she's a violinist and. Done a lot of philanthropy, and in saying that, what's important for her is shows a person that is very, very valuable. Kudos to her, and she's been involved, especially with Susan K. Komen. She's that's the latest thing, and that's what the principal article is based on. So, again, don't stay, be present. Come on, as I just said, estar presente, and don't be in the galleries. Be active and get involved. As I said, moving to the cultural world and again with a woman, it's Marcela Guerrero Medina. She's the curator, one of the 10 curators of the Whitney Museum of Art in New York, contemporary art. And there's a biennial that started in March and will go through August. And she's the co-curator with Drew Sawyer. There are 10 curators she's gone, studied in Puerto Rico, and she did a doctorate in Wisconsin, and then went on to Montana, was it? And then Los Angeles, and then Houston, and now New York. Hasn't been easy. She's had the struggle. But this biennial is a exhibition Let me see if I can read it from, hold on a second. Okay, the Whitney Biennial 2026. It's the 82nd edition of the Whitney Biennial, the longest running survey of contemporary art in the United States. Features works of 56 artists, duos, and collectives that reflects the current moment and examines various forms of relationality, including interspecies kinships, familiar relations, geopolitical entanglements, technological affinities, shared mythologies, and infrastructural supports. Wow. It was, you know, in reading the article, I said, what is the biennial really about? It was kind of, and so I went to the webpage, and it doesn't help much. But in the article, reading what this says there, and then the interview with Marcela, it's basically looking at the exploring the areas of the U.S. through what's called a geopolitical lens, and she says what is and how do we define the United States, and then again another statement in the article is to look outside to the to understand better what is, it's a view to try and understand the United States, and one of the things that are mentioned there's a person 90 the one of the oldest person is a Puerto Rican, her name is Carmen de Monteflores, 93 years old, and the youngest is a Puerto Rican. Carmen developed in Puerto Rico but moved to New York in the 1940s, and the other Tania Cruz is from the Puerto Rican, born in New York, and she's only 28. So the a big difference between them, but so we have the oldest and the youngest in terms of the artists, and the story of Carmen de Monteflores, the 93-year-old, is interesting because she was, it was her that went to Montana, she started in New York, went to Montana, and then Berkeley, and as an artist, and then gave up painting completely, and studied, became a doctor in psychology, and wrote novels, so completely changed professions. She was 36 years old, I calculated, when she did that change. And then, because of she has a daughter who was a recognized Andrea Fraser. I don't know her, but a recognized artist, brought her works to the attention of Marcela, the curator, the curator. And then part of it is you have both Andrea Carmen Monteflores, have exhibitions, the mother and the daughter. And when they went to the inauguration, they both cried, really overwhelmed with the emotion of that and the resurrection kind of Carmen Monteflores as an artist, and says, gracias por devolverme mi vida de artista, Carmen Monteflores speaking to the curator. She's the official in the Whitney. Whitney is a curadora de la familia de Martini, the curator of the De Martini family. I imagine that's the sponsor, for her, the chair for her position at the Whitney Museum. If I can make it, I'm certainly going to go there and see the exhibition through the 30th of August again at the Whitney Museum in New York. But kudos to A Great Life, by Marcela making it, and then bringing these other women artists to the floor. There's a This program's a lot of women, right? Okay, no problem. Let's move on to a pretty kind of a change in pace, but it goes back to the importance of whether you forgive. We talked at the beginning, you know, with Vietnam, being able to forgive, be bygones, and feeling that Iran and the U.S., have not been able to cross that bridge, and Israel, forget it. And Iran with Israel, as I mentioned when I was talking about Iran, you cannot have on your passport an entry into Israel. You will not allow you into Iran, at least at the time. This was, you know, in 2013. So, yeah, the feeling is mutual. It's, doesn't matter where I was heading in the car, but often when I have the longer trips to Cahiers, I go to the podcast, and one of my favorite podcasts I mentioned is The Happiness Lab by Lauri Santos, and this particular podcast was on dealing with forgiveness, and it starts an interview with psychologist Dr. Fred Luskin, Luskin, and he's the director of the Stanford University Forgiveness Project, and he spent his whole career in teaching in Stanford and writing books on the issue of forgiveness, and I found that really very interesting. Some of the things that he came, some of it was things that I have mentioned and I believe in, and it's good to sort of hear somebody say that that's the way it has to be, and then some things that were really surprising. One of the main things in terms of the definition of forgiveness, and he goes to the Webster dictionary and all, and he says that after many experiences with the forgiveness issue, he says that he's come to the definition that for forgiveness is arriving at peace with no. And basically it's coming to grips with something that's been negative, and coming to grips means having peace. And it brought to mind, of course, my definition of well-being and happiness, you know, living your personal values with a sense of self-satisfaction and peace. And so it's interesting. His definition of forgiveness is achieving peace with no. One of the things he mentions is that he's tried to deal with different religions and given up. They're too dogmatic. There's a Jonathan Swift in the Nuevo Día. This is the 4th of April. Says, tenemos bastante religión para odiarnos unos a otros, pero no la bastante para amarnos. We have sufficient religions to have us hate each other, but not enough to love each other, Jonathan Swift. The other thing he says is that you can't expect to forget, that you have to change the story, you have to come to grips with it, but you're not going to forget, and that's something, you know, so forgive and forget is something that I've always said is not practical, and he is his position. The other thing that really was kind of, he says, you don't need to have reconciliation. So you can forgive and not have reconciliation. So that he said, and then he says, you know, you can forgive somebody who's dead. So there's, you know, obviously not going to be a reconciliation there. So it's just changing the story, and and come in and come into grips with you know, the trauma, the thing that has created this this negative for you. And I kind of want to, I know that Sori Betancourt, the Fundación Stefano, I've always admired how she was able to forgive the two kids who killed her son in a kidnapping, excuse me, a carjacking, an attempted carjacking. And you know, I think, you know, with our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I think I want to end the program with urging you to forgive, to study this this podcast. Laurie Santos, the Happiness Lab, really recommend you go into her podcast, but this particular one, I think you'll find it interesting. And then you can also read his book by Dr. Fred Luskin. And please, don't hold resentment and don't poison your life by wanting revenge. Come to grips with peace, with no. So we'll see you next week. Take care. This is your host, Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.